This is an interview with Claude DeGoya, who lives right north of Palatka, Florida. It's February 14th, 1985. This is Marianne McDonald.
That's great.
My son made them pictures of Turner in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. So they live in Virginia, you two little grandma.
Oh, yeah. You want anything to drink? I got some punch here.
Oh, I'm fine, I think.
Yeah.
But thank you.
I'm getting a little bit dry.
On.
Went and made a foundation for the garage I'm building.
Mm.
Whatever I build or start to build, I don't gotta do it two or three times before I'm through with it.
I'll just put this over here. Well, now the Schmitz told me that you were born in Kentucky.
Right.
What part?
Berea.
Berea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's college town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just 12 miles north of Renfro. And Red Foley and John Lyer, they're the ones started that Renfro barn dance there.
Oh, wow.
And broadcast. Of course, I always said it was a good thing that Red could sing, because he was the ugliest thing that ever got born. Lord. They was our next door neighbor there for years. Not years, because we didn't stay there that long. It was my daddy migrated south.
What did your dad do when he was up in Berea?
Yeah, well, he was a farmer.
Yeah?
Strictly a farmer, except he'd contract once in a while for one time he contracted to build a cobblestone street
mm-hmm.
in Fairmount, Indiana. And he went on up there and started a job and sent back to the family, which was me and two brothers, a sister, and my mother. And that time I was around 5 years old. And she drove us to the train station, and that was the first train I ever seen in my life, and I rode it from there to Fairmount.
Wow.
and
was your dad raised in Berea?
No. He was born in Indiana. And he lived around in Illinois a while, and then he went out west, and long about then the Spanish-American War broke out, see. And of course that's the only volunteer army there was, but he was actually too old for that, but then he never showed his age because he was big and redheaded. And he volunteered in that darn mess and went over there. That's where he met my Uncle Steve.
Wow.
And Steve talked him into coming back home with him. They were big buddies over there. Now, Steve thought anything that George done was perfect and just right. Nobody could do it like George.
That was your father's name, George DeGoya?
Yeah, he could always get into the most trouble with anybody. Take for Steve's death. But, He talked him into coming home with him. That's where he met my mother.
In Berea?
Yeah. And so they married.
So your mother had grown up in Berea?
Yeah.
What was her maiden name?
Mary Jane Barrett.
Barrett, huh.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of Barretts there. Some of them scattered all over. And some Garretts and Hazelwoods.
Yeah.
Alcorns. Carters, you name it. They got, there's some of them names all in there.
Well, sounds like your mother was real musical.
Well, most of her brothers was. My Uncle Steve, he was about beyond compare with a banjo. Now, if he'd come along in radio days like Dave Macon,
mm-hmm.
well, he could outshine Dave Macon anytime.
Just wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Did he play a style like Dave Macon?
Yep. Well, he could play it most anyway, but then that's what the hillbillies call clawhammer style. That's me anymore because my hands is messed up, you know.
Is that what you used to play, was clawhammer?
Yeah, most of the time, clawhammer. I had to go to that.
I like that.
Because that's Well, I had a sister-in-law over at Middleburg one time here. I picked up the banjo and done John Henry. She said, my goodness, says, that sounds so good. Says, I've never heard a banjo played like that in my life. And she really liked it. But eventually I was with it. I hired the Thompson boys, brothers. It was Bay Thompson, Wani, Tuff, and Curtis. Now, Bay and Curtis was musicians, and Wani was a singer. Mm-hmm. Now, he's alive yet, around Pledge here yet.
What's his name?
Wani Thompson.
Wani?
Mm-hmm. He's a big fella. And,
is he old now, or?
Well, no, he's in his 50s, but he shows age pretty bad. I don't know. They all died young. All of them dead down but him.
Mm.
But now, he always sang in the key of C. It was a guitar, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, I'd rather heard him sing than anybody else.
Really?
Well, now, he could outshine a bunch of these guys now, so-called singers on the... And he's not educated. I don't know. I ain't ever seen him sign his name.
Really? What's he do for a living in Palatka?
Really, I don't know right now. I haven't... I met him in a grocery store, and he was married to some woman I never seen before.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he'd been unlucky about marrying.
Uh-oh.
And so, but I don't know what he's doing. Now, he has always been a fisherman, you know.
Maybe I should try and look him up. What? How do you spell his first name?
Wani. Wani, that's the only thing I know. Just,
huh.
Wani Thompson. And I don't know, let's see. Valerie Driggers down here.
Driggers?
Yeah. She might could tell you just about where to look for them.
Okay.
Of course, now, there's some of the others that's around here yet. He's got a nephew that works at the hospital out there. And it's Pee-wee. Yeah.
Pee-wee Thompson?
Yeah, they call him Pee-wee Thompson, but he's got another name. But now, I think he's an orderly in there. And I don't know what shift he works.
Well, I
but
could
now he could tell you about where one is at, because he's a nephew.
Maybe I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm real interested in your mother. Your mother played banjo? Mm-hmm.
That's her up yonder.
Oh, yeah?
And the red. Now, you know the other one.
Is that your wife?
No.
No.
You don't know that gal? Everybody in the world ought to know her.
Oh, yeah? I guess I don't know her.
My goodness, wife. Roy Rogers' wife.
Oh, yeah, Dale Evans.
Yeah. My two sisters called on her about 2 or 3 months ago. My baby sister, by the way, and she ain't got over it yet.
That's correct.
Oh, Lord, mercy, know that girl. She said, that's got to be the sweetest woman in the world.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's so nice.
Well,
that's a cute picture.
How come that picture there was a, you know, down here at Lakeland, they built a new Civic, big thing, very expensive. And my brother-in-law down there, Joe Green, he's a, what do you call, commander in the American Legion. And they left it up to him to get the talent, you know, for entertainment.
Right.
So he wanted Roy Rogers and Dale, and Roy couldn't come because he already committed somewhere, but Dale came. And
wow.
Somewhere in the shenanigans on that night, someone was talking about her little house. Said, you must love children because, you know, besides you only, you adopted so many.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I dearly love children and old grannies. And Joe said, you'd love my mother-in-law. Then says she's, right now, says she's 93 years old. And she said, well, where is she? She said, well, she's sitting out here in the lobby. She said, well, bring her here. She said, well, somebody has to go get her, say she's nearly blind. So he said, his wife, no, Viola, my sister, brought her in there. And she said, my, what a sweet little granny. She said, I got to have my picture with her.
Oh, wow.
And so Everybody was making pictures of all us and told Joseph, well, you better get her next one. You know who's going to have it. And Viola told her somewhere on that night, said, we're going to make a trip out west this next summer. It was sometime. Says, take my baby sister out. Says, just on a drive around. Says, you know, she just lost her husband through a heart attack. So she said, well, now, you know, where are you going? She said, well, we're going to go up to Montana, maybe back down to California. She told her where her ranch was at. She said, now, if you get anywhere near my ranch, say, you give me a call.
Oh,
says,
wow.
She said, don't you? She said, be sure and give me a call. And so Wydell heard that. And so when they was on a trip, well, somewhere they was looking at the map, and Viola said, well, you know, we're in about 200 miles of Roy Rogers' ranch. Well, they said, won't you call her? She said, oh, I said, she probably didn't mean it. She said, now, she sounded awful sincere to me. She said, now, says, I would, I'd call her. Says, you promised her that you would. And so the next station she'd come to, she called and got her just like that. And so she said, well, where are you at? And she said, told her. She said, well, now, I says, I know where it's at. She said, now, it'll take you just so many hours to get here. So now I'm going to be expecting you. And said, don't you dare go by without coming here. She said, I mean that. And so they went by and got there about night. And they was going to set off for some friends and come in. They had them a little party about midnight there.
That's so nice.
And so, what else? She ain't got over it yet.
That is so great.
And she said, that's got to be the sweetest woman in the world.
That is a nice picture.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's
well, I had it enlarged. Mm-hmm. A small one. I'll give it to my oldest brother.
That's
near Smyrna. He wanted it.
So how many of you were there in your family?
Well, my Lord, I had to count them up. I had two half brothers to begin with. They was 10 of us. And
10 of you?
There was 11, but that 11 one didn't last long. That's 5 weeks old.
Oh.
He come along just ahead of that 26 hurricane, and we was in the weather all day and part of that night. Never got nothing dry for the baby at all. And it died of double pneumonia.
Oh, no. That was in Berea?
No, that was down on Okeechobee Lake.
Oh, so now you were born in Berea and raised there part of the time. How old were you when you left?
Well, we left there when I was 6 years old, and I just been going back on visits once in a while. So,
where'd y'all move when you were six?
Well, we headed for Tallahassee, Florida.
Why?
I don't know. Well, at that time, it was the biggest town in the state, and farming, you know, back in 1915.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was nothing here. There was, well, if I moved to this state, I believe there's about 4,000 people in the whole entire
state.
Wow.
Wow.
But we was coming through in a covered wagon, and it took us 3 months and two months and 20 days.
In 1915?
Yeah.
Took you how many months?
2 months and 20 days.
Wow.
And this side of folks in Georgia, one of our old mules died. That's it. And so my dad, he got in with a farmer there and, you know, a plantation owner, and rented a farm from him. And we stayed right there just across St. Mary's River out inside of Callahan.
In Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Where we was at.
How long did y'all stay there?
We stayed there just for one crop, about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got moving on towards Brunswick. And here we moved. My aid was towards Brunswick. Finally, we wound up in Dover Bluff. And that was in 1918. The war was going pretty good then. And they had a big plant up there. They started to build outside of Brunswick called a picric acid plant that was to make ammunition. And when they was building the thing, they were short of labor, see, and they had a bunch of Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
And they advertised for a Spanish-speaking man to police them, see. And my dad, when he went in there for an interview, they took him right quick because he looked the part. He could talk Spanish. He lived in Mexico, you know, son.
He had?
Oh, yeah. And he can he could write it and speak it.
Well,
and
was De Goya, was he from Mexico?
No.
Where was he from?
He just went up there, so.
Was he from Spain?
No. I mean, my daddy had started.
Yeah, your dad. Well, here's some company.
Well, they're bringing the garbage cans back.
Oh.
But, he just traveled around, so.
But the name De Goya sounds pretty Spanish. Well, was his father Spanish?
No, out there is French.
It's French, mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, that's my son's truck there now. Jerry, he's patching and fixing it up to sell it.
Wow. You want to go out and say hey to him?
He can talk. I see that tune of his, Walking in My Sleep. That was the best one he played.
And that was Rob Baxley?
Yeah, Baxley, yeah.
So you used to play with him some?
I played with him, but then I kept a champion fiddler with me when I run my fishing outfit. Him and his brother. His brother was an awful good guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
He could second and he could lead with the guitar. And that's one thing that the fiddler, Jeff Fountain, Sylvester was his name, and they called him Jeff.
What was his name?
Jeff Fountain.
Fountain?
Yeah, he's dead now. Both of them boys are dead. But I had him with me for 6 years, and I come to find out when I was playing with Mac Compton up there, I said, no wonder I thought I was listening to Mac all the time. He said, Laura and his brother said, well, who the heck do you think taught Jeffy to play the fiddle?
Really?
And that was Mac Compton taught him to play.
Wow.
So.
Well, so you were saying that you, your family came down from Berea, Kentucky, down into Georgia, and then stayed in Georgia for a while, and then came down to Florida?
Yeah. Well, after the war was over, and my daddy come down here in mid-Florida somewhere around Sanford and bought a stand of timber. And he cut that out, and when he got done with it, when it took him nearly about a year, he went over to Eustis, Florida. He was near it. And while he's looking the country over there, he got to talking with the policeman. They said, well, we need some extra help here. You know, said, if you had the experience, and he took me out, that's experience. So he joined the police force there at Eustis. And about that time, they began to open up the Round Okeechobee Lake, muck land, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they advertised Moorhaven then, the city of the magic soil, you dare to use fertilizer and all that. So my daddy wrote to a real estate man for a sample of the muck, and he sent him back a shoebox full.
Of soil?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He got his fingers in that, and right away he quit the police force, grabbed him a train, headed right straight for Okeechobee Lake.
Because he wanted to farm, huh?
Yeah, and he rented a farm and sent back for us family. We lived at Dover Bluff then, outside of Brunswick.
At where?
Yeah, Dover Bluff.
Dover Bluff?
Mm-hmm. You can see, there's an overpass this out of Brunswick. It says Dover Bluff Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Wow.
And then down this side of it, there's another there that I get an awful kick out of. That Horse Stomp Church Road. I went to that church when I was 9 years old.
That's funny. Is that a Baptist church?
I don't know what it was. It's an old country church. A traveling preacher would come once in a while. And I come back through White Oak, which was down from Virginia. Picked up 17. I was just a little bit early, and I was kind of sort of reliving in the past. And I come down through White Oak, and there was a sign on the station in a little store. Whiteheads. I made me a U-turn and went back.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, well, I just wonder if I could bump into anybody that I knew around here, because I lived here as a kid. And they said, where'd you live? I said, I lived out here at Dover Bluff. And there's an old lady standing there, gray-headed, that's all get out. She says, you are a De Goya. Well, I'll explain it.
I bet you did.
And she says, are you Jesse? I said, no. Well, then you're Clyde. I said, no, you're close. I said, but I'm Claude. That's right. She says, well, how's your sister Stella? Well, right now, sister Stella's cancer.
Oh.
And I never have seen her under 140 pounds. She's always been a big gal. But now she's about 97 pounds.
Oh, right now. Goodness.
And wasting away. Oh.
But that woman knew you.
Well, she knew the DeGoyers. And I said, well, I knew Arthur Whitehead. You know, he lived out there close by. I said, is any of them living yet? She said, no. Said, now, she said, I was married Amos. That was Arthur's brother. She said, now, I never did get really acquainted with you folks, except Amos knew you folks, and Arthur knew you. And said, what was so odd, says, about 2 weeks before he died, and he died just about 8 months ago, said, he mentioned you folks, the Goliaths, said, the wood bluff and how nice she was. Well, they tell me that's a resort out there now, and it's all fenced in, you can't get into it. But I'm going to go see what I can see of it one of these days, anyhow.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And we live there on what they call the Umbrella River. You ain't supposed to pop. And
so then your dad went to farming out there?
Yeah. He farmed out there, and then he rented this place, Moorhaven. We stayed there until the 26 hurricane.
Then, so you were pretty much raised down there.
Yeah.
Moorhaven.
Well, I went to
Moorhaven.
We lived there 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I finished my school. What I finished was up here at Brunswick Community School. The old building's still there yet.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, wait, what year were you born?
Would you like to guess?
Well, I don't know if I dare guess. If I.
It'd be all right.
Well, how about 1910?
You're close. That's closer than anybody else has ever hit it.
Oh, yeah?
Go back one more year, 1909.
1909? Okay.
I guess that's the reason I got Social Security so easy, because I can remember back that good.
Really?
Well, the man was questioning, you know. He was filling out a form for me, you know. He says, how far can you remember back? I says, well, when I was 3 years old. He says, that's impossible. He says, what can you remember back that far? I said, well, I remember how horrified all the old folks was when the Titanic sunk. And he says, when it sank, I says, April 15th, 1912. He says, well, you were 3 years old. Well, my readers come home. Well, that's right, I do remember.
You really do?
I sure do.
Wow.
Red Polar's daddy, he used to pick me up and set it on his shoulder and over on his neck when I was a kid. I thought he was the tallest man in the world. And I went to see him 2 years before he died. And I was real proud that I did, because I had an awful good visit with him. But Red, I haven't seen him since he got grown. And his brother Clifford bought a motel out over here at St. Augustine, and I was going to go around and see him, but I never did know Clifford. But then I was going to go see him anyhow.
Uh-huh.
But I never did remember him, do I?
Hmm.
Red was the only one I ever remembered.
Well, that's really funny, that story about going in to get your Social Security. So yeah. They give it to you?
Oh, yeah. In 2 weeks, here come a letter.
That's great.
And they told me when I'd start drawing it and how much.
That's great. Because you didn't have any proof of birth?
No.
Nothing in the Bible?
No, nothing. But I could have got affidavits. You know, my mother was alive then.
Oh, really?
And oldest sister and oldest brother, old them was alive.
Mm-hmm.
But what records that we ever had was in the courthouse at Breer, and that was an old wood structure, and it burnt down.
Oh, no.
And it, even one time they, let's see, I was putting in for something other, I don't know, during the war.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go in and pay them $0.50 from the search the records for me for a birth certificate, see.
Yeah.
I told them they ain't one. I said, here's a half a buck. I said,
you're not going to find one, yeah.
You're not going to find one. They didn't.
Wow.
No, they don't take your word for nothing anymore.
I guess not. Well, so Then you were growing up around in Moorhaven?
Yeah, I grew up more around Moorhaven, around, well, it was 10 years I was there.
Yeah.
And then I moved up here, well, after the 28 storm, well, we all moved away from that, you know, entirely. Just went up to the
What happened during that storm?
Well, I lost a first cousin and a baby, brother,
in
26.
Was it a real bad hurricane?
Oh, it was bad, yeah, because, the water is what got us up. Wrecked everything. We lost a home there.
Oh. How did y'all escape?
We went into the highest point of the town was on a bridge, a drawbridge there. And we had a big garage shop, you know, boat works and things that worked that I worked with my brother-in-law and all that mess. And our house was down below there. And when that shop began to tear up, we all went over into it because the house was low. And then when that began to tear up, we went up to the bridge tender shack. It's about an 18 by 18 building. And there was 36 of us in that building.
Oh, no.
All most of the day. The only thing that helped out with us was that we had just built a brand new rowboat. And I kept it with us. And I saved the only motorboat that was alive after that storm there.
Wow.
I took the bow line off that new boat we had. And someone just held the bow of the door there and kept it with us. And I went down and tied up that other boat. It got loose and there was adrift.
Yeah.
Come down and lodged against the bridge. And I went down and freed it up and where to hang out. When I bang up, and that was the first boat running after the storm.
Wow. Boy, you must have been scared.
Well, you didn't have too much time to get scared. You was trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. So where'd you all go after that, after Moorhaven?
Well, the folks moved up to Lakeland. I come up there, and I married there in Lakeland, and I mucked around somehow or another. We got off up here at Green Cove Springs in South Jacksonville. And I went back into the fishing business because I fished about 6 years of the 10 years down on Okeechobee Lake. But I didn't, just out of season of work.
Yeah.
But I go back down to Moorhaven every year. I'm going to try to go this year because it's an off season. Weekend for the baby, getting them. Fidel bought me this book of old boats down there.
Oh, great.
And most of them, well, a lot of them I know, but there's one of them especially in there. Well, they mentioned the old Elmo in there. I ran it across the lake one time.
Did you?
And we've got a little story about this here if we can find it. And I carried 5,000 bean hampers over to South Bay.
5,000 what?
Bean hampers.
Bean hampers? Mm-hmm. What's a bean hamper?
Well, it's made of slats and it's small at the bottom. And you put it's all made of wood.
Uh-huh.
Just a hamper. And here's a boat I've seen.
Wow.
But there's a lot of them in there I've seen. They're old. But I've seen that one. Here's one. That's the old Osceola. I seen that same truck that we drove to Breer, and it had a flatbed on it. I hauled a load of furniture out of that they'd brought across from South Bay or somewhere. A man down towards Fort Myers took me all day long.
Really?
Just about it. I charged him $10, and boy, did he think I was robbing him.
But he didn't know it was going to take you all day, did he?
Well,
wow.
He figured $10 was too much money. But now,
what's this book called? It's called Okeechobee Boats and Skippers by Lawrence E. Will.
Oh, yeah, now Lawrence Will. I'll tell you, that there is really an interesting book.
Yeah, I'd like to read it.
You see this dredge there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the old Holloway dredge. Now I hauled coal of that. In the Elmo. It mentions the Elmo, but they ain't got no picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now here's a boat I've seen many times in my life, and that there was a. That was a tender to the Dredge boat. But now,
Well, before you moved out on your own, I guess you had been playing a lot of music at home.
Oh, yeah, I just...
Did your mother teach you to play, or...?
Well, somewhat. I was just listening around, listening to records, and
What kind of records did you listen to?
Oh, most of them. All of the hillbillies. This year's at Moorhaven, that's a boat.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Seminole Queen.
Those are beautiful big old boats.
But, here's one, here it is, Queen of the Lakes. Now, me and it, we like to get together in the fog on a head-on collision.
Oh, no.
And he was right there. Well, they haul tourists around with that, all points of the lake, you know, to sell property. Now, this fella that wrote that, Lawrence E. Will, that, well, he uses all the cracker talk you can think of.
Oh, yeah?
That, and it's funny. And
so you think this is a pretty good book, huh?
In there, and to mention people that I know.
Oh, that's great. Now,
this old guy there, I've seen him.
Oh, yeah?
He was a skipper.
Wow. Mm. These are good pictures he has in there.
That tree is still there yet. That's the side of Moorhaven right there.
Wow.
That's in the city park.
That's beautiful.
That's where this canal is going out there. But that's where my oldest brother, Jesse, and what was the other guy's name? They put the fight on of the century right there.
Hmm.
I think of his name and don't want to need it. But the old postmaster, he said he'd never seen such a fight in his life. He couldn't understand why Jesse was fighting with such a tall guy. The guy was about a head and shoulder higher than him.
That was Jesse's your brother?
Yeah. But he said, imagine my surprise, and he finally got that fella down on the ground and beat the tar out of him.
Oh, golly.
And,
boy.
But that was Jesse. He just didn't know. He never did take a whipping. He didn't have sense enough to know when he was whipped. No,
really? That's funny. Well, when you were growing up, what kind of music would your mother play at home?
She played that banjo, it was old.
Yeah? What kind of songs?
Clawhammer style, Cripple Creek, and there's some other little songs there. I don't recall anymore.
Did she play any gospel songs? Mm,
very few. She did that on piano.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Stella, ones with cancer right now, is the only ones who played piano.
Wow.
But mother, she never went to school a day in her life. She didn't.
Your mother didn't?
No. The kids at home taught her to write her name.
Wow.
My daddy never went to school.
Really?
He could write pretty than I could. I never could write.
Gosh. But can you read? You read
real
good, but you just don't write.
Yeah. Well, I learned to plow too good. And the old man keep me home to plow.
So
I missed one whole season of school. And next year I went back I went through the sixth grade and promoted to the seventh, and that was it. I told him, I said, I'm not going in there and sit in the class with kids. I'm a grown person, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, did you ever regret not getting more school?
Well, I did in a way, because up here at Gringo, about the best job I got was clerking in the A&D store. And I bluffed my way through there. Nobody knew that I was. But, I could have got to be assistant manager if I'd have had even my next grade education.
Yeah. So it held you back a little bit.
That helped me back from that. Of course, I moved away from there. Anyhow, I started fishing, and I finally bought my own outfit and put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the fountain boys with me. Well, I had the younger one there for 3 years, and the oldest one, Sylvester, I had him 6 years. And we stopped in Orange Park there one night. He had an old friend there that just got married and had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jeff says, I'd love for you to do me a favor. He says, come back and play the fiddle for me tonight. well, if I can get my buddy to come with me, so he picked me up and we went back. I was about the height of the war. And we was riding on 17 there, right in the heart of Orange Park, in the station. Everybody stopped to stay. First thing you know, there was no parking room nowhere. We had sailors, soldiers, everything.
Wow.
And laying the tables loaded with beer. I told the boys, I said, help yourself. And you know, drink beer. I said, I can't drink all that. So,
wow.
I guess we stayed there about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Playing music.
Yeah. But about the same thing happened out there on the road one time at the filling
really?
Station with me and Bay Thompson. And I had Bay Thompson with me up there on the lake after I come down here and bought this place and was fishing out of here. Well, I went back on the lake there every year, you know, it was seasonal, about mm-hmm. 3 months. I took this Bay Thompson with me. He's a big color. He weighed 268 pounds.
Wow.
And you told him about playing a steel guitar. Lord, he was just plumb dreamy with it.
Really?
And that, and he could fiddle pretty good. But, and play a mandolin some, but he never messed with that. But then he was mostly steel guitar. But one night, I was renting a place there from an apartment from Teston's.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big grocery store there, and he had 3 girls. And one was Jackie. She was a little booger in, I guess, probably about the 4th grade when she had a birthday. And she said, I'm going to have a party tonight. Said, would you and Mr. Thompson come over and play a tune for us?
Yes, well,
sure. And so we went over there, and we stayed for the entire party. And it so helped me, every kid in the neighborhood after that morning just
got there.
And I had to break that up because we had to fish, you know, at lifetime.
Oh, that's funny. What kind of tunes were you playing then?
Well, just about everything that you could think of on the Hawaiian Hotel, Hawaiian Chimes, and just most anything that was Hawaiian, he could do it.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of tunes were you playing? You were fiddling then, right?
No, I was playing a second with him.
Uh-huh.
You notice here goes a barge back there.
Oh, yeah, there's a barge.
That's a little one.
Yeah.
What in the world he's doing up this way, it's...
Huh. Well, when you were growing up, what kind of tunes did you learn first? And did you learn fiddle first?
No, I never did. My food with a fiddle very little.
It was banjo?
Banjo is the only thing.
Do you remember your first tune?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Cripple Creek. I think it's more like the one of my uncles probably up there in Kentucky put that out to start with.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, but I copied after Dave Macon on it. John Henry and first one thing. Then Steve Barrett, he always played he played churches. He'd get about half drunk. He was a drinking uncle anyhow. And you play when the road is called a Piander, I'll be thar. Good, very cool. Oh boy. But I copied after him.
Mm-hmm.
I put all that down after the Thompson boys died out. I just didn't fool with it anymore. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. And I went for a long time and didn't even have a banjo around.
Really?
Yeah. And I had an old beat-up fiddle, and my brother-in-law, Pierce Hicks, he played that. I kept it just in case he come down always visiting. And finally, he didn't visit very often. Some guy wanted it, and I sold it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
Who'd you sell it to?
Fellow named Ford, let's see... Joe Will Ford
from Palatka, or
no? They was right down the river shore here from us.
Uh huh.
I've got Jennifer's fiddle there. I'll show it to you. I'm gonna take it over here to Rob, and he said, "Don't bring it unless you bring a guitar." I said, "Well,
yeah."
I borrowed one. But darn, they got these old plastic strings. It ruins your fingers.
Yeah, I bet it does.
I don't like them. I just see Jennifer. I got them letters for her. She put that on there.
Oh, that's nice.
This is her fiddle. But it's a full size, see?
Yeah, it is.
And
well, that's pretty.
And she couldn't court it, you know, reach it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be able to build it, arm it out.
When she gets bigger, she'll be able to.
Now she can play it now.
Yeah.
But now we got her a pedal rented that she's practicing with. And
so this is your son's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Jennifer. That's the oldest in that picture.
Yeah. You never played one of these much. You just played banjo.
Banjo, but that, well, I've done more secondly guitar than anything else.
Really?
Actually. So once in a while, a bunch of us get together, maybe I take the banjo.
How long has it been since you played banjo?
Well, it's been a long time. I guess been 20 years or more.
Since you played it regular?
Yeah.
Why'd you quit?
I don't know, just got away from it.
Yeah.
And the idea is, when I had the Thompson boys around, well, we was always playing together.
Yeah.
You know, and they got scattered eight around, and some of them started dying. They all died young.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Curtis, he died, and I think he was 47 years old, heart attack.
That's real young.
And I missed him worse than any of them. Of course, me and him, we got together. I'd play the banjo, but, you know, just the lead.
Uh-huh.
And he'd second with me, and that guy could make every crazy run with them bass strings that you could think of.
Wow.
Oh, boy. But I never did go in for runs on bass strings. There was a guy out of Okeechobee Lake, city of Clewiston down there. I heard him play a second, and that was the prettiest I ever heard, and I copied that guy.
Really?
Yes. And even when I played with Mac Compton up there, I noticed he kept watching me, you know, and finally he said, I wished I could meet you when I was cutting records.
That's great.
I said, you don't mean that. He said, yes, sir. He said, you got to have it there that I've always wanted out of my guitar player. He says, I fired a lot of them because he wouldn't do it. He said, they wanted to stay with them bass strings all the time. It's more like a drum to me. He said, every instrument's got its own sound. And he said, if it's not done right, he said, it ain't right for me. He said, that's all. He said, I hear both E strings every time you stroke. He said, that's what I would like.
I wish you had met up with him.
Oh, my Lord.
Could have been on the records.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Who were your favorite band that you were listening to about the time you were listening to the Skeltlickers?
Well, I liked them all just about there on Grand Ole Opry that you could think of, I guess. But I like to hear old... what you call him up there now? He's on Hee Haw. What the hell was his name? The old feller?
Grandpa Jones?
Oh, no, Roy Acuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he don't fiddle very much anymore. I love to hear that bunch get together of old Roy Clark's, you know.
Uh-huh.
His family, when they get together there for a jamboree, that's good. And I like that.
Yeah. And did your family have a record player from way back? Or?
No.
How did you hear the bands? Or Uncle Dave Macon, mentioning.
Oh, that was records, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we always had a phonograph just about it.
Even
when we lived at Dover Bluff out there, we had a phonograph.
You grew up with a phonograph.
Yeah, old, you remember the old Victor's that had the picture of the dog with his looking into the sound, the horn, you know? We had one of them, and everybody thought we was rich. Well, my daddy got a $10 a month pension, you know, from the government, you know, from the Army. And
because he was in which war? Mexican American?
Spanish American.
Yeah, Spanish American.
Yeah. But we was better off than everybody else in the, you know, around the neighborhood there. Of course, almost everybody was about as good as the other because nobody had nothing then. Plenty to eat, that's all. You had to grow that.
Yeah. So you were saying you really love the Skeltlickers. Who else, I'm wondering? Georgia Yellowhammers, you remember those?
Yeah, and one bunch I really did like, and I didn't get to hear them too much, those old Milton Estes out of Middletown, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his bunch went and signed a darn contract out in Hollywood.
Wow.
And they left the Grand Ole Opry. They didn't play very long, but they was good.
Remember Fiddlin' Arthur Smith? Did you listen to him?
And them, yes, Fruit Jar Drinkers. And, I used to could name them all, but now a name is just...
Yeah, how about Clark Kessinger? Remember him?
No.
No?
No, I didn't. Okay. I might have heard him, but... Because any time that any of that stuff was on, I'm always listening.
Yeah.
Even I listen to you.
Yeah.
A lot. And, I got Jennifer interested in the fiddle was right over there in the house one night. Hee-haw was on, and you remember that little girl that used to be with Buck Owens?
Mm-hmm.
That fiddler, my God, she could play a thing.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer's laying on her stomach looking at the television. She looked down. Granddaddy, when I get big enough, would you buy me a fiddle? I said, I sure will. And promptly forgot it. And then until after they moved up yonder to Virginia, Granddaddy, when are you going to buy me my fiddle? I said, we'll buy it today if you want it. Well, I want it. I said, you sure? Yes, you want to learn to play the fiddle? I do. All right. I took her right down there and right across from Riding Higher Music there in Salem
mm-hmm.
and bought that fiddle for her.
Wow.
Not giving it a thought, it was too big for her.
Yeah.
But then, there's a girl there. I started giving her lessons. And I said right away, you're going to have to get a small fiddle for it.
Yeah.
I rented one. And then Marcy, she had to stick her nose in. Every time that Jennifer was taking a lesson, she had to be in the room. And so one day Jennifer set the fiddle down, and so Marcy picked the fiddle up and done what Jennifer was doing.
Wow.
Almost as good. And so she was hanging after there every time that fiddle, I said, you want to learn too? She said, yeah. And I believe she's going to make the best one.
Really?
Because she's careless and don't care. See, she's one of these here, don't give a damn blame. And Jennifer, she's serious. Of course, she's going to play smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcy will make the fiddler. That's all there is to it. I'll just believe that.
Yeah, maybe she will.
Well, the other night, I was done, went to bed, and she picked up that fiddle there, played, and they got an old cat. And the old cat kept trying to catch the bow, and her daddy made a picture of it. I got it on the camera there yet. It's
great.
Developing.
That'll be cute.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fiddling, the Schmidts were saying that you used to call square dances a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Where was that?
That was around Middleburg, and, I started in Lakeland, actually. I never did consider myself a square dance caller. I was young, 19 years old. And, of course, I went to square dances down in the Glades there. This deputy sheriff got me started with him, with him down there. And I hardly ever got an opportunity to call for him because there was some good callers down there. I mean, good ones. The old Whiddens there, they were darn one of them to call.
Whiddens?
And Whiddens, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, they had a boxing rink up there, what they call a standard mine down there out in Medela, a little suburb, outskirts of Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids and them would all meet down there, once a weekend, box, wrestling, cut up. One night, the Pitts there, there's three of their sisters, they had a big old high-standing phonograph, they brought it out there. And they started playing fiddling tunes, and old Fred Canover, he got up there. He was a monkey anyhow. And kind of sort of halfway bow-legged a little bit, long-legged. And he could buck dance like a nigger. He wanted to dance. And he tried to get them all up there, somebody, for a, to dance on that platform. And he couldn't call. He said, well, I'll call what? And then he says, you take it over someone. And I just blew in up there. I was a privation, my folks only. And I listened to that and I thought, my God, that's beautiful. And finally, I walked over. It says an old lady. I believe it was, her name was Burson. She always loved to dance. And I said, "Would you try set?" He said, "Yes." Of course, I went to the head. I said, "Okay." I said, "You better get in line, get ready here." I said, "I'll do what I can for you." Well, I started them off. My Lord, them guys, they fell for that quick.
Great.
Because that was about my first time I'd ever tried to read a call, you know. But I put them to it and kept them playing that record over and over and over. Mama Fred and Knover and some other come to me and said, "Would you come back this weekend?" Says, "We're going to build a big platform here," and says, "and get some music here." I said, "Yeah, I'll come back." They wanted to know who I was, I told them. And I stayed there. Well, I stayed there till I married, before that goes. But we had us a big time. Even, well, my father-in-law, before I married in the family, he's a big fella. He's got a big stomach on him. I got a picture of him there in the Bible. But now, he could buck dance. And
really?
Oh, Lord, I'd love to get him and Fred Canover opposite each other where I could call him out at the same time, see. And they'd come out buck dancing. Boy, I'd just bring the crowd down.
Really? What makes a good buck dancer?
Well, that's same about, it's a tap dance in a after a fashion, except it's a little slower. And you got crazy motions with it. But well, I had that on for a long time, and that's even up here when I buried my wife. There's an old fella named Steve Wiggins. He come to them dances there just religiously. And he was there somewhere, and he asked them on if they'd get me and bring him where he could talk to me a while. So you reckon he would? I went around there, and he said, "Well, you don't look like you did when you was a young fella." And he walked with two canes and both legs, knees bent way back some way or another. He just couldn't hardly get around. But he said, "The best time of my life," he says, "when we had them dances down there."
Wow.
He said, "I didn't dance, but," he said, "I wouldn't miss one." He said, "I can still remember that voice of yours yet." He says, "I can just hear it in my sleep."
That's great. Well, how did you learn to call?
Well, I went to the dances down there, and them women, boy, every one of them could call.
So you just listened to them?
Yeah. And up here around Green Cove, I started up there, and every time I called for a set, any time, everybody else would quit. We went to Middleburg, got there one night, and an old boy out there, Carter, he's a moonshiner. He's calling. Finally, he says, "Can't somebody here call the set?" He says, "My throat's give out." He says, "Sore." He says, "I can't do it anymore." And old Leonard Scully, he was there with me. He's one of my catfish skinners.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "There's the best in the whole damn county, right?" So he gave me away. Darn rascal. And then after that, everybody begged for me to come back there.
Wow. And now, where was this?
At Middleburg.
At Middleburg.
That's right over here. And we got a celebrity that's grown up over there.
Who's that?
That's Slim Whitman.
Oh, yeah. He grew up there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. My brother built his house he's living in.
Huh. What do you know?
He went fishing with him.
Well, what makes a good square dance caller? What do you have to remember?
I don't know. It's just everybody's got their own style. Of course, I heard a Whitten boy down there that had the best style I ever heard in my life. He had a way, after he got to start, he sang it.
Really?
Yeah. But it's just having a voice that'll carry and, you know, and call the figures that people like. I invented one myself.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Well, one night I was trying to think of something to call, and I said, "Balance all, swing your part, or promenade your swing," you know. Start all around, and I just brought back one swing, probably just swing, until you got all the way around back to your partner again. See? And they all like that, so I just kept it up.
That's great. Could you call a few seconds for me?
I don't know what I could call anything about.
Really?
I'm just interested in the voice you use, because you might kind of sing it a little bit.
I probably did sing a little bit, you know, not unconsciously.
So it would carry? How would you start out a dance?
Oh, well, that's on your partner, lady on the left, hold your own hand, circle the left, all the way around, halfway back. Fall into the center, back, fall in again, you know. Swing your left hand, lady, now you're on, and promenade home, see.
And, wow.
And after you get around, you start your figures then, you know. First mm-hmm. couple out on head and foot to the ocean wave or something like that. Or four hands around, ladies by and jets, you know how. Do the E.B. Bow City hug, you know. That's what everybody liked that, especially
wow.
the young gals.
Uh-huh.
They love that. I used to call it whatever county is in it. Do Clay County Hug. or St. John's County Hug or the Putnam County Hug.
That's cute.
And boy, you know, they all like that. My God, they
never oh, I wish I'd been at those dances. That sounds like fun.
God. Oh, it was.
Who would usually play at those dances? Would it be a guitar, a fiddle,
guitar,
and a banjo?
Guitar and a fiddle is all, most music. I went over there one night and played with Walter Appleby till 3 o'clock in the morning. I spent the only 50 cents I had for a set of strings. And the knocker got too drunk to share the take with him. He
uh-huh.
passed the hat about every other set.
Oh, that was nice.
He forgot to share it with me.
No.
I spent my last half a buck. And then they had a fight and no boy got cut. Just about the time I got, I was hardly out on the highway.
Wow.
But now,
was there much fighting and roughness at dances?
Well, usually there was. There was quite a bit, except at my place, at Doctor's Inlet, because I didn't give out a set to the public, you know, for a dance. I just friends.
Uh-huh.
And, I just had the regular run of friends, about the same ones every time.
And would the Schmidts go? Would Jerome Schmidt go to
No, that? They never did know me then.
That was before you met them.
That's before I met them. But
I can hardly imagine Jerome Schmidt dancing.
Well, he used to get around good, but he can dance. You know, it's round dance, but not square. I don't think. But square dance, that's the prettiest dance in the world. Even though you get a group in it, does everything right.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your mother square dance?
No.
Did she clog or flatfoot?
No, she didn't do anything.
Didn't dance at all?
No, my daddy, he didn't. And my daddy, he could do this Irish reel or jig or whatever
they really?
Call it. As pretty as I ever seen it done anywhere.
Step dancing or?
No, it's
a jig?
It's that Irish jig, you know.
Huh.
I don't know where he picked that up at, but he always was full of surprises.
Sounds like he was real well traveled.
He was.
Where was his father from?
Illinois, I think.
Huh.
I never did actually know. Now, there's the Goja scattered all over. There's some in California. There's one come and got up with my brother down at Lakeland, and he referred him to his son, Ronnie, because both of them was, interested in tracing up the family tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when that guy come out of taxis around his place and started walking across the yard, Hal looked at him, he said, well, that's Claude all over again.
Wow.
He said, that could be Claude.
Gosh.
And he said, it had a voice exactly like mine. Well, so I'm hoarse now, being out this weather day.
Yeah. Did you ever sing when you were playing?
No, hardly ever. Of course, I've had some said that you ought to sing. You got a good voice for it, but mm-hmm. I never did. Bashful or something.
Yeah.
My brother, the oldest brother now, he's been in church most of his life. He sings.
And where does he live?
New Smyrna.
New Smyrna. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see him pretty often?
No, I went for nearly a year. I didn't see him, and I got up here one morning and had him on my mind. I got in my car and took off for a Sunday morning. And he just got up and was fixing to drive out to cook his own breakfast with us. His wife, she was in a nursing home.
Oh.
She was a vegetable for about 4 years.
Oh.
She had to have her head operated on. It took out some of her brain and loused her up. she never did recuperate from that. She got to where she didn't even recognize any of the family at all.
Oh, that's sad.
But he was fixing to go eat. He said, park your car and get in here with me. But, oh, he was so thrilled. We went and eat. He said, what you going to do today? I said, I ain't doing anything. He said, well, I'm supposed to go down to Christmas. He said, you might as well just go with me. So I went with him. And, of course, he's assistant pastor down there now because he's done retired, but then there's a guy down there wants him to, you know, so that you can help me.
Yeah.
So he helps the main preacher down there. It's a holiness church. So, but they made a big thing out of me being down there.
Wow.
He told him, yeah, his brother come down to see him today.
That's so nice.
And so everybody turned and looked at me because they knew I was the only stranger there.
And what's his name?
Jesse.
Jesse, okay.
Yes,
Jesse
sir.
DeGoya.
And he is, and he's a Jesse. And they ain't never been, they never could have been two of them.
Really?
No, sir.
And he used to play music.
No.
No, he just sings.
Sings. He ain't never played anything.
Is the music real good in his church?
Yeah. Now they have a band there once in a while come in there, and there was a lady there come in there. She played the horns. It wasn't a sax, it was a trumpet.
Huh.
And she was good at it.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I mean, when they was bearing down on that singing once in a while, you could hear that horn cut in there, and oh boy. It was good.
That's great.
And my brother, he was complimenting her. He said, well, he said, if I could blow a horn like that, he said, I'd set the clock and get up in the middle of the night and play it.
Wow.
Well,
I tell you, I'm sorry you don't play the banjo anymore. I would like to hear you.
No, I hardly ever pick it up. I maybe play a tune or two once in a while. But it's indisposed. I can't even handle it now. Like fifth string
there. Yeah, fifth string's gone.
Yeah, you just feel like you're undressed without it.
Yeah.